We moved to Dunlap, Tennessee about 4 years ago. And we were at the very dead end of a road, kind of on the bluff. And it was an old homestead that had burned down, and nobody had lived there for many years. And we decided to build our home there. And since we built there, it's gotten a lot better, but so far I've killed 33 copperheads and 3 rattlesnakes. But my wife's the rattlesnake killer, 1 4-foot and 1 3-foot, one with 10 rattles on it. Quite a story, a miracle story, but God is good. He does take care of us. Little housekeeping. I have one adult lesson set left and one children's set left, and I have 2 Spanish sets. So on the lessons, if you want any lessons, just let me know. Okay. You know, we're doing well, and I have handouts. How about that? I have handouts. Rick, I'll just give these all to you. I think that's enough to go around. If you need more, I have them up here. Well, 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 hard to believe how fast time flies when you're having fun. And we are having fun, aren't we? Wow. I wanted to see a show of hands for people that have been to every single one of these Sparks. Man, there's a good group of you. Fantastic. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. Now, let me see a show of hands of how many of you plan on going back to your local church and try to incorporating this evangelism cycle. Fantastic. Good. That means that I know that I'm going to get a phone call or an email from one of you telling me a really neat story, and I cannot wait, and I'll share it with everyone back at It Is Written as well. Fantastic. Do you know what John and I have in common? John's going to be here tonight. Man, you don't want to miss it. I was talking to a gentleman in the store, and he said, I've never ever heard John Bradshaw. I said, well, you are in for a treat. He is really quite a speaker. You are so blessed to have him here in West Virginia. And Thursday night, Friday night, and Sabbath morning. Good. So what does John and I have in common? Anybody know? Yeah, well, we do that, but I don't kind of put myself in that level, so I'm not quite there. We what? Yeah, we both work for it. We do have that in common, too. I guess John and I both are losing our hair right here. That's what we have in common right there. And it's funny. You know, we both started together in 2011, and we both had hair there. And I don't know what it was, but we've just kind of lost some of it. But, you know, I can't see that I've lost it, so it doesn't bother me until I see pictures. And I go, that's not me, is it? Oh, my, here's your question for today. I got to get the right one here for you. What production from It Is Written can you watch in American Sign Language? Every word, that's right. Every word. Good, you can get yourself a gift. Every word. That's something that if you know a hearing impaired person besides me, you can take and tell them that they can watch every word every day in sign language. And the lady that does it, it's so fun to watch her. She is so animated. She is so good. She does such a great job with it. All right, so that's that. Now, we're going to talk today about a subject that scares all of us to death. If I was to ask you what keeps you from really going out and trying to meet people and do Bible studies, the number one answer I get back is I'm so nervous about them asking me a question or objecting to something that I can't answer or something in that format. So this is a big deal when we're talking about meeting people, trying to do Bible studies, trying to build a relationship, trying to be a friend. how do we deal with the objections that come down the road? What do we do with those? Well, as we go through today, you've got some in your handout. I've added others to this program that aren't in the handout. But I want you to feel free, when we get towards the end of this presentation, to go ahead and ask me some things, some objections that you're battling with, dealing with, or would you like an answer for? And if you'd like an answer for it, I'm sure somebody here can answer that for you. We'll do it together. I'll do my best, but there's others here with experience that might say, oh, I've had that objection, and this is how I answered it. We're here to help each other. And so if we can do that to better prepare ourselves, that'd be great. So, so let's go ahead and kind of get started here. Jesus kind of said, when you're in a tight spot and you don't know what to say, leave it up to me. Now, that's the Blumenberg paraphrase of this verse. I do a lot of paraphrasing of verses. Now, this wasn't necessarily spoken for this exact situation, but I think it applies. I think it covers. It's like, man, when you're going out doing the Lord's work, you're working for Him. You're His employee. He's going to support you. He's going to help you. You're in a battle. You're not sure what to say or do at a certain time. Trust the Lord. Just remember, yesterday I shared with you these two girls that were just smitten with nervousness at that door, hoping somebody wouldn't answer. And then they're about ready to walk away and the door opens, and they said to me, Jeff, God just took over, and it became a great visit. And I said, yeah, that's how it works. We can get by our fears, and we can push through. We prepare, of course, so we're prepared. We know our script, we know, but then God will take over, and He will help us. All right. Who sponsors these lessons? Now, that's a great objection. You go to the door, you say, you know, I'm here to give you this lesson, these important lessons, wanted to give it to you personally. You know, Pastor Bradshaw from It Is Written has written these and asked that I deliver these first lesson to you. And they say, well, who sponsors these? What church sponsors these? Tough question. Woo. Tough question. Now, you'll hear me say as we move through this module that I want to avoid the name Seventh-day Adventist as long as I can, because there's this phobia about Adventist. And if a person hears that name up front too early, majority of them won't want to study with you. They won't want to take the lesson. So this is where we want to be wise as a serpent. Try to figure out, how can I get around this question, satisfy the question, without actually saying that these are from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So when someone says, who sponsors these lessons, you can honestly say, it is written. And then what you do is you move them off that thought. It is written. Have you heard of It Is Written? It is a weekly television program. It's on TBN, Trinity Broadcasting. Well, if they're religious at all, they know Trinity Broadcasting, and they know that's not Adventist, and so a lot of times that will suffice. And then you move on and say, let me show you how beautiful these lessons are, and you move on. 9 out of 10 times, that will move you past that objection, okay? So, It Is Written, TV telecast, TBN, Sundays at 1:30. Now, what if they push you? Whose It Is Written? Are they a church? Yes, they are. That's a television ministry of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you just have to pray that they're open to that. Got to pray that they'll be okay with that. Some will, some won't. Some will hand you the lesson back and say, no, I'm not interested. And some will say, well, I've heard about them, but I really don't know a lot about them. And it will give you an opportunity to say, well, these lessons will share with you a lot of truths of the Bible that you'll enjoy learning. Now, what if they say, well, I'm not interested if it's an Adventist organization? That's going to happen. These are two of your biggest objections. Most others we can work our way through. These are tough ones. So I'm not interested if it's Adventist. Okay, well, a lot of times I say, well, what religion are you? I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Presbyterian. I'm whatever. I go, oh, that is so cool. Do you know that Seventh-day Adventists and Baptists, we almost have the same exact doctrine? You know, we believe in baptism by immersion. I bet you believe in Jesus is coming in the clouds of heaven and every eye will see him. Yeah, you do. Yeah, we have a lot of similarities. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll leave the lessons with you. If you ever get to a topic that you don't want to study, that you don't want to deal with, just let me know and we'll pass it. We'll skip it. But what we'll do is we'll enjoy Christian brothers and sisters. We'll enjoy studying the topics that you and I both agree on, and we'll dig deeper into the Bible. We'll both learn. We'll both grow. How is that? Is that okay? That's pretty much a winning answer to that objection. Don't be afraid to skip the Sabbath. Don't be afraid to skip the state of the dead. Remember, it's all about relationships. I want to build their friendship. Will I circle back around again? Of course I'll circle back around again. But when I'm their friend and I've gone through 15 lessons, 15 weeks with this person, and let's say the last 10, I've sat at their kitchen table, do you think that they like me by now or not? I think they do. So we skip the ones they don't want to deal with, and we get around to some others, and I always can say, hey, you know, we skipped a couple lessons. Would you have any interest in just going back and seeing what the Bible says about some of these things? And always assure them, these aren't lessons that are just Seventh-day Adventist. They're Bible. They're Bible-based. Everything that's in these lessons are Bible-based. If you find something that's not a Bible-based in these lessons, then you let me know. But they were just written just purely from text in the Bible, and I think you'll appreciate that. All right. So, just reviewing here, offer to not do the lessons. Don't ever argue with them. Man, you know, you're actually a salesman when you're doing this. You're actually trying to sell yourself. You're trying to sell doing the Bible studies. So in this philosophy, you have to make sure that, you know, you kind of honor and respect their wishes. And that's okay. That's fine. And don't argue with them. Okay. Now, let's say you're moving along and you're studying with these people, or you're like in the first lesson, and they've not really studied the Bible a lot in their life. They're sitting down with you, you're giving the Bible study, so they think you really know the Bible. You're giving me a Bible study, you know, they think that you really know. And so right in the middle of the Bible study, they might throw this unrelated question at you. Boom, right out of the blue. Oh, hey, what do you think about this and this? And it's like, oh, wait a minute, man, I'm in the middle of a study on the second coming, and now they just threw a question at me about who this guy's going to be married to. He's had two wives. I mean, do I want to deal with that? I don't want to. So what am I going to do? Bottom line, I'm going to try to stay on topic. And if you've come in late and you don't have a handout, just let me know. I'll be happy to get you a handout. I've got a couple people. Okay, good. You want to walk these around? Thanks, appreciate it. So we want to stay on topic. That's the important thing. If it's unrelated to the topic we're studying, what we'll want to do is we'll want to say, can we defer this? Can we defer this to the end? I'd like to answer your question, but can we defer it to the end? And that works 9 out of 10 times. Oh, okay, that's a great question. Would you mind if I dealt with this question when we're done with the lesson? So you want to defer it. You want to try to stay on topic. Then you also have questions that are going to come up that are not in context to the lesson you're studying. And because you've reviewed the lessons ahead of time, you know what's there. And you can say, oh, we have a lesson that covers that topic. And I'll be so happy to kind of try to help answer that when we get to that lesson. Would that be okay if we wait till that lesson? Yeah, they're okay with that. So you just are going to push that down the street a little bit, kick the can a little bit, right? One thing that I like to do is I like to say to them when they ask me a question, what has your study shown you? What has your digging into this from the Bible, what kind of an answer do you have to that question you're giving me? And kind of get an idea where their mind is, what they're trying to say. Okay. Many times we're going to be asked a question we don't know the answer. Is it the worst thing in the world? Is it the end of the world? Is it a bad thing? No. Not even a bad thing. No. I mean, I've had lots of times when I've said, well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you know, so that's a good question. To tell you the truth, I've not thought about it before. Give me a little time to think it through. I'll research it for you, and I'll see what the Bible has to say. Now, if you can kind of incorporate through everything you do that little buzz line, what the Bible has to say, if you can learn that, if you can just have that in your head, you're going to use that over and over again, and you're going to establish a principle in their minds. Tell you what, when they're talking to their pastor, but pastor, this guy, this woman, they only go in the Bible for the answer. They never give me their opinion. They always use the Bible. And that's what you want. That's what you want them thinking. So it's okay. It's okay if you don't have the answer. You can tell them, well, that's a good question, and I'm not sure what the Bible says about it. And you can try to go on. Sometimes it's going to be a question that you don't ever want to deal with. So you could just say, I don't know what the Bible says on that, and I don't want to make an opinion. And then again, you could ask them, what have they heard, or what have they studied that they have found regarding that question? And then there's the questions where you just want to say, you know what? It's going to have to wait till heaven. It's not something that I know that there's an answer in the Bible for it. I've not come across one. Maybe you have. If you have, share it with me. But, you know, we might just have to wait till we get to heaven for that one. Bottom line, it's okay to admit that you don't know. It's totally fine. You don't have to be the authority on anything. And if you don't act like the authority, it actually is going to help you in the long run. It's going to be a benefit to you. So you'd rather say you don't know than answer it off the cuff and it be wrong. Worst thing to do. All right, so now what if let's go down this vein here. You don't always have to answer a question. I don't know why this is being so difficult today, but it is. So sometimes you can just mow the question aside when you're doing the study. You just like you hear the question comes in your one, you know, comes in your ear, and you say, "Well, that's an interesting point," and then just go right back to where you were in the study. You acknowledge the question, but you know you got to read your student, and you'll know whether or not it's a serious question or if they're just fishing or what, and you could just, you know, just push it aside. You said, I've not thought of that before. Move on. Go back to the lesson. Now, let's see. I think it was your turn to read question number 5. Okay, let's go. And so you just move on. No debating. Don't get in any debates. Debates never work. You know, you guys got good brains, and you've gone in with the Holy Spirit. So you're going to be okay. You're going to just use good common sense. Children are an issue. Children have always been an issue. Especially in the literature ministry. Woo. Here you're trying to show mom and dad books and you need their full attention. And kids can just really ruin that whole dynamic. And the same thing can happen in a Bible study. Same thing can happen. So what do we do with kids? What do we do with them? Well, you can suggest other times. What about, would it be better if I came back next time at bedtime for the children so that we could have more one-on-one time? Or what about their nap time? Or what about during school? You know, kind of offer some suggestions. The other thing you can do is, because you're with a partner, the partner can then say, I'll take the children and I'll take them aside, and because you brought a coloring book and some crayons, you can amuse the children. You're talking about really 30 minutes of when you really need to have the children's attention away from the student. Well, that's not bad. Okay, now what about TV? I tell you, it amazes me. I tell you, it's just amazing how many people just run their TV all day long. And they don't watch it, but it's on all day long. And it's on loud. And it's like they're oblivious to it. They don't even hear it. And you walk in the house and the TV's blaring and you're like, I can't even hear myself think. And the person's trying to listen to you and they have no idea, oh, I can't hear you because the TV's on. It's the strangest phenomenon. I don't know what it is. So you have to then interject. So there's two things you can say. You can say, well, am I catching you at a bad time? Is this your favorite program? Of which they'll immediately say, no. Let me go turn the TV down. They'll never turn it off. Well, let me turn it down. I'm like, turn the thing off, will you? It's crazy. So then, if it's still too loud, you might have to suggest, would it be okay if we turn the TV off during our study period? And these are just simple, common sense things, but you have to lead the horse to water here and hope that they'll drink. All right, what about neighbors? This happens in two different scenarios. That's not the word I wanted, but I can't think of the right one. You know, I love the English language. They have a word for everything, if you can think of it. Neighbors. Scenario number one, they're just by for a visit. And they just happen to be there when you get there, and they'll see you come, and they'll say, well, Mary, I'll go now. I'll talk to you later. And the neighbor will go out the back door. It's sweet. Easy peasy. No big deal. Then there is the scenario where Ms. Mary Brown has been talking to her neighbor Alice and said, I'm doing these lessons. It's really interesting. We studied some stuff I've never heard about before. And Alice says, well, I don't think that's right. Well, maybe you should come and be here when they come this time, because I need a little support. That happens. So you're in the dilemma. Now you've got somebody else that's going to be there to try to pick a fight with what you're doing. So how do we deal with that? Well, you introduce yourself, and you can invite them to join the study. Now, they're not going to expect you to do that, but you can say, hey, how would you like to join our study? Now, I'll do that if I'm in the beginning part of the study. I won't do that if I'm in the middle or further on, and here's why. We've covered a lot of ground, and we've talked about some difficult subjects up to now, and the last thing I want is for a neighbor to jump in the middle when we haven't had a chance to build a relationship, and they don't know me, I don't know them. So in that scenario, this is what I'll suggest. Would you like to continue, or would it be better if I come back later? That's what I say to Mary Brown. And she's going to probably say, well, I'd like to continue. But I'm making it clear to her, I'm a little uncomfortable with this setup. Would you like me to come back? I can come back at another time. No, it's okay. So now, then I've got to go to, can I schedule a time with the neighbor at another time? Now that's going to be my goal. I'm going to say to the neighbor, I would love to do studies with you if you'd like that. Would it be okay if I schedule a time and come see you and I'll start the studies from the beginning? We've covered a lot of ground. I wouldn't want you to miss what we've already studied. Would it be okay if I did that? So those are just some ways for you to maybe deal with neighbors that hit the scene. Besides the neighbor at the house, who else might show up someday? Who? The swan man. Yeah, that swan man. But who else? I mean, really, this is going to be, who else is going to show up? You're going to get there one day? And who? The what? Cable man? No, you guys are not even close. Who? That's it. Their pastor. Ah, their pastor's going to be there waiting for you. Boy, what do you do? Ouch, that's a scary thing. Oh, man, Lord, I need a double dose of your spirit right now. You know what? It's funny. Pastors seem scary, but they're really not. And what you do is you go into this thing realizing This pastor's heard some new truth and he's interested in learning more. Praise God. He's there because I've never seen this like this. And Mary has shared this with me and I'd like to learn it too. Wow, that would be wonderful. It's not always that easy and that nice, of course. Sometimes the pastor's there and he wants to create a little bit of diversion, or he wants to support Mary and say, we're not sure that what you're really, these lessons, she's got some questions. Well, praise God, you got an opportunity now to witness to two people, and you're going to do your best with the grace of God to handle that. And you have to let the Spirit pull you through that. It's not our job to bring under conviction or to move the mind. It's the Holy Spirit. So you just do the best you can, and it's amazing. You'll have stories come out of that that will be really great. All right, so you've been going to Ms. Mary Brown now two or three times. You're really getting comfortable. You're friends. She's happy to see you. She gives you a hug at the door. I'm so happy to see you. Good. I'm glad to be here. So she says, hey, I just put a pot of coffee on. Can I get you a cup? I just made some iced tea for you. Special. Just for you. Wow, I got some snacks here. I just made some Swedish meatballs. I just can't wait till you try them. Oh, man. All right, Paul, what do I do? What do we do? Well, you need to have some thought through answers before you get in that position. All right? So if you've recently eaten, you can mention that. You know, I've just eaten. Or as soon as I leave here, I'm going home and having dinner. So you could just kind of like sublay that a little bit. Try to do that. Thank you. A glass of water would be wonderful. In fact, you could say, you know, I went to a seminar and I heard this doctor talk about healthy living and how much we need to drink more water. And I don't drink enough water. So a glass of water would be perfect. Okay, it takes care of that. You want to avoid the issue of vegetarianism, clean, unclean foods at this time. You don't want to kind of go there. There'll be a time for that. There'll be a lesson for that. Number 13, you'll get to that. Be courteous, use common sense. Okay. Now, what if the student is argumentative and they can be cantankerous and argumentative? Remember, people have been believing things their whole life, and you come walking and waltzing into their living room and you sit down and you tell them you've been believing the wrong thing your whole life. Man. I'd probably argue with that too. So you got to realize their position. Put yourself in their shoes a little bit and try to have some tenderness and some patience with them. So no argument's going to win, of course. Want to be careful of personal combativeness. It's easy to do this. When somebody starts attacking you, or attacking a belief that you've loved your whole life, you got to get this feeling in your heart, you know, no, I know I'm right. I know the Adventist Church's belief on this is right. I've got to somehow show them, you know, I've got to win this. And the rise in the voice starts to come up, you know, and you start to, the hair on the back of your neck starts to go up a little bit. I can tell you from personal experience, I've done all three of these, and I was really disappointed in myself afterwards, but it was with my good friend Dwight that I told you about. He didn't like our take on the state of the dead. Sabbath, he was okay with that. State of the dead, he says, Jeff, I'm telling you, the soul goes to heaven. That's what the Bible says. And we'd gone through the lesson. I showed him that the soul was a combination of earth and breath, and when that separates, the soul goes nowhere, and I did all that, and so he was just telling me, no, Jeff, you're wrong there. And, you know, I got a little bit defensive. And I wish now I wouldn't have. I wish I'd have said, Dwight, I respect how you feel on that. Let's move on. Here I thought I was going to play the role of the Holy Spirit, and I was going to convince him. So I got into my competitive mode. I'll win this. And I could see his demeanor turn. And I could see I was losing him. And the Spirit of God thankfully spoke to me just in time. And I backed off and I said, man, Dwight, okay, it's all right, man. Let's just let this one go. If you want, we can look at it more later. We can study it, whatever. He said, well, I'll study it more when I get home. I said, that's great. And so we were able to part, good feelings, knowing we were going to meet again in 2 weeks. So you're going to get some arguments. This is something that you're going to have to be careful with how you deal with. My batteries are getting low in my clicker. You know, it's good to let people know that you respect their opinion. It's a courteous thing to do. I respect how you feel. I understand that. And the feely-felty-found things are really good, you know. I understand how you feel. I felt that way too until I found what the Bible said about this. Nice. I appreciate how you feel. That's good. We want to do that. I just don't agree. Okay. That's not the end of the world either. Doesn't mean that they're not going to become an Adventist someday because they don't agree the first time they see something, obviously. So you want to answer prayerfully, really tenderly, a lot of respect. And again, you feel felt. I think the most important test for any belief should be, again, let's see what the Bible says. We'll do everything we can here in our studies to just use the Bible. We're going to just let it be our authority on this. All right. You're going to be showing subjects to people that are brand spanking new. They've never seen this before. I mean, they're going to be like, whoa, I didn't learn that in Sunday school. So you got to be tender with them. Really got to be tender. And so you might want to say, you know you're struggling with this. How would you like if I left some additional text for you to look up during the week? Or what can I do to help you that you'll feel a little better? I just don't agree. You know, I struggled with that when I first saw it. Now, if you were raised an Adventist, you're not going to be able to use this. But my parents became an Adventist when I was 4 years old. And I kind of did the Adventist thing till I was a late teenager, and then I left the church for a while, and then I came back. You know how that is, you know. And so I left the church because I just didn't believe in some of the things that I was taught. So when I came back, I had to study it out myself. So I really can seriously relate to people and answer them this way. You know, I struggled with that too. I understand where you are. I definitely had a problem with that. And so I had to ask myself, well, am I going to believe what other people say, or am I going to go to the Bible and base my doctrine on the Word of God? And that's the way that I try to answer that objection. Or they say, you know, I don't, you know, an objection, let me say this, this is a good point, it's not in your notes, but I learned this as a literature evangelist, and Kevin knows this, he's a literature evangelist. An objection is nothing more than a desire for more information. That's what an objection is. It's not a no. It's just you haven't told me enough. You haven't convinced me. You haven't given me enough proof. That's what an objection is. So don't take an objection as a straight out no. They're just crying out, help me here. I don't agree. I'm not quite there yet. What else can you tell me? Is there a way that I can help you further? That's going to be your attitude. You see they're struggling. How can I help you further? What can I do to help you further? And they'll share with you. Should you talk more or less? One of the most important skills in doing a Bible study is listening. Being a good listener. Something we don't do as well as we really should. A Bible study should be a give and take. You're sitting there, you're sharing, they're sharing, you're reading, they're reading. It's a back and forth thing. It's just not you doing the whole thing. I love the TMA. I say all the time to people, TMA, TMA. It's just something that's in my mind all the time. I know people that talk so much, and sometimes I try to share with them, you need to learn the TMA approach, where you're, tell me about you. Instead of doing all the talking, let them do it. Tell me about how you feel. Tell me about what that verse says to you. Tell me, how were you raised? Tell me, is this hard for you? Tell me about TMA. Get that in your head. It's a great, great tool. Go back to your church and learn about other people in your church, because you're going to say, tell me about How long have you been an Adventist? Tell me about your family. Tell me about, you're going to learn about other people. Get in the habit of doing that, asking them about them instead of you doing all the talking. Do's and don'ts. Now I'm going to just breeze through this list, okay? We're going to just look at this quick. Yeah, you don't have to overprove anything because, you know, when we do a lesson on a topic, John like has 15, 20 texts when there's maybe 30 or 50. We can't include them all. So you don't have to worry about trying to, like the farmer yesterday said, well, I wouldn't give her the whole load, right? Remember that? We don't have to overprove the subject. Man, whatever you do, don't do this. You don't want to get yourself trapped. You've come in there saying what the Bible says is what we're going to believe. That's what we're going to study. That's what we're going to follow. And then you go give some statement and they say, what text is that? Where's that in the Bible? And you're stuck. Don't do that. Don't do that. All right. You know, some people, and in my work now when I visit people, they're lonely and they just want to talk. And after 2 hours, I finally have to excuse myself. And it can happen with a Bible study too, where people just find it to be a time that, to visit with somebody. And you've got to stay on focus, on track, and have a time that you have to leave. And that's important. Even if a person wants to get into a controversial subject, you can't let them. If a person says, well, you're an Adventist and you keep Saturday and this is your second lesson, I want to know why you do that. Well, there's a time and place for that. We have a lesson for that. So don't get into controversy too early on. Yeah, this is an interesting thing. People will try to convert you. In and out, an hour. That's all you want to do. So these are the do's. Stay consistent. Adapt. People have doctor's appointments. They have issues. Got to watch the granddaughter this week. Can't make it. I mean, don't let that throw you. Just, okay, that's fine. We'll work it out. What's another better day or better time? You know, if you go into this realizing that you're going to learn too, that you're a student of the Word too, they'll really appreciate that. They'll appreciate knowing that you're not there to just know it all, but you're there to learn with them. And so that's a good feeling for them to know that. Be sensitive to them and the different needs that they have. Always pray for your students. You know, that goes unsaid. You would do that. If you had a Bible student, you'd be pouring your heart out morning and night for them. You just would, and you need to. And you got to expect God to work. You're not in this alone. This isn't your show. All you are is the farmer casting seed. There's a lot of responsibility on God's part. You got to let Him take what He does. Okay, I want to take some questions on objections, if there are some that I can help you with or we can discuss. We'll do this for about maybe 5 minutes or so. If not, we'll move on. Anybody? Nobody? Yes, sir?
He
says, what if there's a guest there like the neighbor and they say, no, I don't mind, just go ahead with the study. You know, you're going to not be able to encourage people to do what you want them to do all the time, and you just have to succumb. You know, I would make an effort to say, would you like to have your own studies? I'd be happy to do them with you, because then we could start at the beginning. And if they said, no, I'm just here today. Can I just join today? Absolutely. Love to have you. Thanks for being here. Somebody else? Okay. Take a 5 minute break. I'll change over and we'll move on to the next one. Okay, hello. How are my favorite people today doing? You know, you folks should be smiling at me, because if you can't smile at me, how are you going to smile at a stranger? Be happy. Oh, man, it's all about making friends. Yeah, there's a Scrooge amongst us. There's a Scrooge amongst us. Uh-huh. All right. I want to talk to you about something that a lot of people have not heard of, but I'd like you to know about it. And it's called It Is Written Partnership Weekends. Now, I know some of you here are It Is Written partners and you attend, but there's others that have never heard of it. And so I want to share with you just a little bit of what that is through a little video by John. And so we'll just watch this little video right now.
One of the things I've enjoyed most in my ministry is visiting people in their homes. And if there's somewhere I would like to be right now, I'd like to be right there in your home saying hi. Well, I can't be there today, but I can be here speaking to you from this computer screen. And I want to take the opportunity to say hi and thank you for your interest in and your support of It Is Written. I want to encourage you to see if you can be at an It Is Written partnership event. They are spiritual feasts. They're a time when we come together and we're blessed with great music, wonderful fellowship, and warm inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And I'm pretty certain that you would love the blessing that you will get from being at an It Is Written partnership weekend. And maybe you could encourage others to attend with you. You know that saying, the more the merrier? It's true at our partnership weekends. We have a wonderful time. We are blessed. We are encouraged. We are inspired. People come away from the partnership weekends every year saying that it's their spiritual highlight of the entire year. And I would love for you to share that blessing. Now, I want to tell you about something, and that is new It Is Written television programming. We've done some new things with our TV program recently that I think you'd like. Also with our devotional, Every Word. If you've not seen them, I want to encourage you to go to our website, itiswritten.com, www.itiswritten.com. Of course, you can see our programs on TV, but you can go right now, if you're able, go to the website and go through the material. There's archive there, lots of programs that you'll be blessed by and that you might like to share with other people so they also can be blessed. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you. I'd like to be there visiting with you in person, and I hope and pray, and I mean that sincerely, that one day in the future I can be there to shake your hand and thank you personally for your interest in this ministry. If you can make it to a partnership event, I'm guaranteeing you, you're going to be blessed. As God leads, perhaps He will lead you in that direction. I certainly hope so. Love to see you there or some other place. Thanks for taking the time to listen today and to stop in with me. May God bless you.
Well, thank you, John. We'll see you tonight. And I just took and lost my program here. Clicked on the wrong thing. What's that? Excuse me? Yeah, he's driving here, yeah. Yep, he is. And I heard a little pitter-patter of rain on the roof. Let me just tell you a little bit more about partnership, because he just invited you, and you are invited. If you have any interest in partnership, you can go to It Is Written, and there's a link on the top that says Partnership. Click on it. It will give you all the information, and you can register. We have 7 of them in the country. We have 4 on the East Coast, 3 on the West Coast. There's nothing kind of central here. Your closest for you here would be Gettysburg or Gatlinburg. So but we put you up in a beautiful accommodation. We cover the cost. It's a weekend that you'll never forget. I travel all over this country, and when I meet partners, they tell me, Jeff, I plan my whole year around that weekend. I would never miss partnership. It's that special. And it really is. It's amazing. I go to 4 or 5 a year. No, I actually go to about 3 or 4 a year. I've not been to 5 yet. But every single time I go, it's the same exact stuff. And I sit there spellbound listening to it every single time, even the 4th time. It's just so neat. Pastor Bradshaw takes you through what we're doing around the world. And it's amazing. People come out on Sunday and they look at me and they say, I had no idea It Is Written is doing all they're doing around the world. So it's really neat. He gives you the look of what we're doing, and then he gives you the vision for what we're going to do in the next year. And it's just really spiritual. Wonderful music, wonderful food. It's just a fabulous weekend. So you go to itiswritten.com, click on partnership, and you will find all the information you want, and you can register there. So, our question. I think somebody's going to get this. You guys have been doing really good, by the way. You guys have been doing really good. Which It Is Written speaker made history with the first ever satellite evangelistic series? Mark Finley, who said that first? You did? You can come get a gift afterwards, don't forget. I have gifts up here. Yeah, if you're new to this, yeah, we have gifts on the chair. You can come up and pick on. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Okay, well, that's nice. Thank you for coming to partnership. But you're still welcome to come up and get a gift. All right. Do you know what year that was, by the way? 95. Good job. Do you know what city? It was Chattanooga. Believe that? Isn't that funny? That is crazy. Good stuff. All right. Okay, guys. Number 9 out of 12. We're cruising right on down the hill here. We're running really late today. We're going to have to really buzz. Gaining decisions. You know, when you do a Bible study with somebody, if you don't kind of help them along, sometimes they won't make decisions. And gaining a decision from somebody is important. So we like to do it in little pieces, as you'll see. So the decision-making process is gradual and it's sequential. We say sequential because we start with little stuff that they can agree with and they can commit to and they can make a decision on. We want them to make decisions early and often through these lessons. So it is sequential. It's kind of represented by walking along a path or climbing a staircase. You know, when you walk along a path, there's crossroads and there's Y's and there's forks. And that's the same thing here, where when you're taking people through these lessons, there's going to be crossroads where they have to make a decision and you're going to help them try to stay on the main road. And you know, it's also like a staircase. If we took a staircase and at the top of the stairs was a major decision. Only way we're going to get to that major decision, like let's say baptism or accepting the Sabbath, whatever that major decision is, there's going to be a lot of steps to get there. A lot of small steps that they're going to have to make to get to that major decision. So, one step at a time. Now, John Bradshaw has done a really remarkable job of building into these lessons. At the very end of each lesson is a decision question where they can initial or check. So that's always cool. He's kind of already helping you there. So let's say it's a lesson on, well, the first lesson's on Daniel chapter 2. Is the Bible something you can trust? And so takes you through Daniel chapter 2, the image. And do you need another one, sir? You need another one? Okay, no problem. So at the very end of that lesson, there might be the question that, do you believe that the Bible can be trusted? That we can put our confidence in it? And then the person's going to say yes or no. And they say yes. They made a decision. That's that first step up that staircase. So It Is Written helps you with that. Three phases. Gathering information. This is them now. They're gathering information. And that's why they have objections sometimes, because they don't have enough information, so they want more. So they're gathering information. Conviction is building inside of them, and they're going to hopefully take action. So these are the three phases of decision-making. Step one, you're going to be giving them information, right? Make sure it's always biblical, and you want to do it gradual. And this is a lot of repeat. And like somebody said to me earlier today, this morning, they said, Jeff, I've heard every single thing you've said, except maybe one or two things, but it's just good to hear it again. It's just good to hear it again. And that's basically, I know you folks have been through stuff like this. So you're just hearing this stuff again. You want to make sure that the information you give them is sufficient for them to be able to make a decision. Otherwise, they're going to have an objection. Clear and logical, right? The study should be illustrated. So you better choose a set of lessons that has some nice illustrations, that's practical, not overwhelming them, revealing of God's character, and that's motivational. And these are the kind of the things that John used at his as his goals when he wrote the It Is Written Bible lessons. He wanted to make sure he covered these points. Now, building conviction. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit that does the work, not you. So you've got to give him some room to work, and you've got to be willing to sit back and just say, okay, God, you know what? I've done what I can do. I've done my job. We're going to maybe help a little bit, show him scripture, have a word of prayer with them if they're struggling with something. Let's pray about it. They need to have their conviction defined for them. And so you're going to help them. Hearing the voice of God speaks to me because becoming aware of the decision God wants me to make. This is a process that you walk them through. You hold their hand with this. You see them on the verge of making a decision, and maybe you need to say, let's pray and ask the Spirit to guide you and seal it with prayer. We want to transition them from information to conviction. Ellen White says, when every other voice is hushed, when every earthly interest is turned aside, the silence of the soul makes more distinct the voice of God. Friends, how hard it is today to hear the voice of God. Life is so busy. Life is so loud. There's so much coming at us. How on earth can we get tuned down to hear the voice of God? Man, it's so hard. So there's lots of things that are going to be between your person making the decision and not. So how can we help people silence these distracting voices? Now, some of these voices might not seem like what you think. For instance, there's the voice of pain. Somebody you're studying with might be dealing with pain. What kind of pain? Could be physical, could be emotional. We don't know. But they're going to be dealing with pain, and it's going to be your job to kind of take and walk them through that pain to help them make a decision. You're going to present the cross to them. You're going to teach them how to pray for healing. You're also going to take them to Isaiah, and you're going to share with them how he was wounded for our transgressions. By his wounds we were healed. You're going to share with them in Mark where they put this purple robe on Jesus and they put this crown of thorns on him and he was led to Calvary. And you're going to help them to understand Jesus went through pain for you. And now he's asking you through your pain to make a decision for him. What about guilt? So many people wrestle with this. They just wrestle with it. They just don't seem to get, they hear you, but they can't make that step. They're just so shackled with guilt. So if you can help determine the source of guilt, that can be helpful because you can help try to walk them through that. Always presenting the cross. Always doing that. Teach them how to confess. We know how to do that. We go to Psalms and we talk about David. Have mercy upon me, O God. Create in me a clean heart. And we know the 1 John text about confess your sins. Confess your sins. And he is faithful. How about distractions? Man, turn from distractions to spiritual topics. That's so hard sometimes to focus there. So what's the distraction? Well, you know your student, every student's different, but you know your student's got a distraction and they always seem to have one. Dwight has had to cancel me out my last two times because of his girlfriend calling on Monday morning having an emergency. That's his distraction right now. I got to somehow figure out a way to hurdle that. And because we got to keep meeting. We got to keep this thing going that we've got going, the momentum. And so somehow Josephine has got to not have emergencies on Monday morning. So that's what I'm praying for right now. Oh, man. When you are dealing with someone that's distracted and you try to bring them to a spiritual thought to try to get their head clear, after that spiritual thought is placed upon their heart, you want to have a word of prayer with them and you want to leave. You want the last thing that they remember hearing from you is the Word of God speaking to their heart through prayer, and you're going to take and help them to internalize that spiritual thought. So it's important that some of these little tips, some of these little things that we do are designed to help bridge some of these distractions. What about the voice of others and you even, you know? We want to continue to turn everything back to God's Word. There's going to be voices. They're going to have relatives. They're going to have other things that are speaking to them. And we're going to have to deal with that. They're going to be going to their pastor. They're going to have a spouse, maybe. A lot of times a spouse is the biggest deterrent. But these are voices that they're hearing. They're hearing these voices coming at them. So you have got to take and work through that, try to identify that. You're going to be moving them from one step on the staircase to another. And if they aren't clear on a subject, you got to go back. But you're always going to say, do you understand that? Do you have any more questions about that? You're good on that? Okay, good. Get a commitment and move forward. As you do that, they'll start to grow with you. They'll make that step on the staircase and they'll move on to the next one. There may be something that's bothering them. Open up the discussion and say, would you like me to review anything with you? I know we've covered a lot of ground. We've covered a lot of stuff that's new to you. And maybe there's some things that you're struggling with. Would you like us to go back and restudy anything? So open that up for them. There's going to be resistance, always is, because it's a spiritual warfare. Again, try to ask questions. Try to smoke out, what's the issue? What's the struggle? What are you dealing with? I took and went to Moldova and did an evangelistic series there in that country. That's a country between Yugoslavia to the south. I can't remember the country to the north right now, but the country on the other side of that's Russia. And Moldova was under Russian rule for a long time. But now it's opened up and we're going in and we're evangelizing. It is written was actually asked by the General Conference to go to Moldova as the every member involvement initiative a few years ago. So anyway, I went there and nobody speaks English. And so I had to have a translator. And Veronica was my translator. When I got to the airport, the gentleman for the conference, he said to me, Jeff, I've got some bad news for you. I said, really, what's that? He said, I don't have a translator for you, and I don't have a place for you to live either while you're here. I'm working on it. I'm like, okay, cool, good. So they found a room where an Adventist couple moved out and went and lived with their parents while I lived in their apartment. So I lived in their apartment for 3 weeks, and that was cool. It was above a florist in the town of Orhe. And so they ended up having to hire a non-Adventist from the university to translate for me. Veronica, sweet Veronica. So she translated for me night in and night out. Did an absolutely wonderful job. She was a sweet, sweet, sweet lady, about 40 years old. They are trying to think of the religion over there. Reformed. They're Reformed. And they don't really know their Bibles at all. They don't even really own a Bible. And one night, I gave her a Bible, and she held it in her hands, and she said to me, this is the first time I have held a Bible, 40 years old. I had an evening on Ellen White on Spirit of Prophecy. And when we were done, we gave everybody a Steps to Christ. And she held that book, and she opened that book up, And she said, I can't believe this lady is the most translated woman in the world. Yep, she is. Wow, I'm going to read this book. And then we got to some other hard subjects, and I knew they were hard for her. And one night I said to her, I said, this is hard for you, isn't it? She says, this would change my whole life. My family would not accept me if I did this. I said, I understand. That is going to be tough. The last Sabbath, I was invited to the head elder's home for lunch with the pastor. I can't go anywhere without her, can I? Would it make any sense? I don't understand a word. Veronica's got to go everywhere I go, you know? It's funny, I learned how to use my phone and translate. I had a taxi driver that took me from the church to my room. It's about a 40-minute drive. And him and I would correspond. I'd say something into my phone, and it would translate into Romanian for him, and he'd laugh, and he'd translate into his phone, and it'd come out in English. And that's a different thing. You get by. So anyway, the last Sabbath, we went to lunch. The last meeting, I preached on Sabbath. It was done. It was over. I was flying out the next day. And I went to dinner, and Veronica was with me. And we're sitting at the table, and I'm not doing this on purpose. I didn't do this on purpose. It just happened, just because this is the TMA about me. I said to the head elder, I said, tell me about how you became an Adventist. So, of course, Veronica has got to translate that to him. So he starts to talk, and he says, well, I was on a ship. And on that ship, I was given the book Steps to Christ. And I read Steps to Christ, and I got off the boat, and I thought, I want to see what else this woman has written, and I want to read it. And so he read his way into the church. I said, wow, that's amazing. How did it go for you? He says, well, let me tell you. My wife said, if I became an Adventist, she's leaving. She's out of here. I said, whoa, Veronica's telling me this. Oh, in English. I'm thinking, oh my, Veronica, we're getting into this, aren't we? And so I said, well, man, how did that go? He says, I trusted God and I got baptized, and my wife said she was leaving, but she never left. She kept saying, I'm leaving, but she never left. And after a year, she started to get a little friendly to me again. And after 2 years, she said, I want to know a little bit more about this. And now she's united with me in the church. Now, wow, that's so cool. Man, it's so cool. So he says, but that's not the end of the story. He said, when I became an Adventist, my whole family shunned me off. They totally said, we want nothing to do with you. And he said, now I want you to know that my mom and dad are Adventists, my sister's an Adventist, I've got two brothers that are Adventists. And he says, it's been so wonderful to make the step with God and see how he is blessed to bring my family, all of us together. And Veronica's having to tell me all this. And just the night before, she said, oh, this would be really hard. You know, my family wouldn't approve. And then she had to translate that. Well, Veronica has not made a decision to be an Adventist to this day. But the seed's planted, and the Spirit's going to work on her heart. I've left, but who knows how and where the Lord's going to speak to her. But he will. So, neat story about Veronica. I've got to kind of maybe get going here. So, use the word where people can hear through his word. You can take and ask a person, well, what do they think this verse says? You know what the verse says to you. But ask them, well, what do you think this verse says? Can you sense God speaking to you through these words? Good leading questions. Encourage and affirm. Seal all decisions with prayer. Action 3. Make sure that you've covered those first two steps really well, and then you want to call them to a commitment. And it's okay to do that. You've gone through the battle with them. You've gone maybe 3, 4, 5 months with these people. You've been through the battle. You've answered questions. You've restudied things. They've affirmed to you. You've gone back, reviewed. You've answered questions. Now it's time to call for a commitment. And again, the felt questions. Help make the decision that they're in their mind thinking a reality publicly. Now, of course, they might have a lapse. We all have lapses. They might make a commitment to you today and you go back the next week and say, well, you know, I talked to my pastor and he said it doesn't really matter what day you keep. And you're going to have to say, well, let's review that. Let's see what the Bible says. All right, in summary, watch for the working of the Spirit. You'll see it. That's fun. You'll see it. Pray that you'll have the wisdom, man, that you'll have the wisdom. God promises He'll give it to you. Work at the pace that God's leading you. Ask for the biggest decision that you think is possible for the person to make at that time. Don't ask them to make a decision that's too far down the road. If you feel they can make a decision here about this right now, urge them to make that decision. Okay, dope. That's it. You did well. Thank you for staying with me. A lot of information. But listen, guys, let me tell you this. 90% of the things you're afraid of are never going to happen. The things that you're thinking, I can't do this because I'm afraid, what if, it's not going to happen. It doesn't happen. It really doesn't. I mean, these people that communicate back to us, that take the step in faith to do this, say, it was so much easier than I thought. I'm so disgusted with myself that I've waited all these years. I've wasted this time. Man, it's been fun. I've loved doing it. People are friendlier than I thought they'd be. People love the Lord and they're interested in learning about the Bible. Wow, this is good. Remember, these people have sent the card in to you, right? They've said, I want to learn the Bible better. You're just there to facilitate. I'm just going to help you do that. And you'll have great results. You know, you'll have great results. Would it be something next year to have one of your studies, your students sitting right here, come to camp meeting? Oh man, that would just thrill your heart. It'd be the greatest thing in the world. Greatest thing in the world. Yep. Because when people learn this truth, they fall in love with it. They can't get enough of it. And camp meeting is a great place to be reinvigorated, have your batteries recharged, go over these things. You've learned these things before, but go over them again, hear them all again. So, well, we're down to two. We're down to two. We're going to make a big transition tomorrow. Okay? Tomorrow, our two modules are on how to do an evangelistic series. So we've done these first 10 modules on how to find an interest, how to take the interest and move them through the lessons into a decision. And then the last two modules are going to be how to organize an evangelistic series, how to put one on, how to do it, what all the nuts and bolts are about that you can then invite your interest to, and then through the evangelistic series, see these people make their final commitment, their final step into the waters of baptism. So hopefully you can be with me tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday afternoon. I know that maybe other things are happening, but I look forward to seeing you. God bless. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, it's been so good to be with these dear, dear folk today. Lord, I know their hearts just ache for wanting to do something for you. Just somehow make a difference, Lord. The yearning in their heart is being combated by Satan putting doubt there. But may your Spirit overwhelm Satan and the adversaries, and may these dear folk grasp on by faith to the vision of being a soldier in your army, going forward, Lord, and doing the work that you've called us to do, to take this truth, Lord, to every person out there that will be open to hear it. Bless us now, in Jesus' name, amen.